to Dirt Doctor Radio, where you'll get advice and answers from the guy who leads the organic charge. Author, landscape architect, arborist, and your host, the Dirt Doctor, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan, and welcome back, everybody, to the show. This hour is brought to you by DirtDoctor.com, TORC, Texas Organic Research Center, and the Organic Club of America. You can find out about all of those on the website, on DirtDoctor.com. The TORC not-for-profit organization is for the collection and the development of research about the natural organic approach. And a lot of good things going on there. There needs to be more. And if you're interested in getting involved, you can check that out. If you want to become a member of the Organic Club of America, the information's right there under the green button on the left-hand side of the homepage. And there's quite a few interesting things going on there as far as benefits to the new members. And also check that out. Matt's been asking people when they call in today, as we did last week, if you want some of the seed, the inland sea oats seed, which is a beautiful little native plant here, and it will grow basically anywhere. It looks like a little short bamboo, beautiful foliage, and then seed pods, very decorative seed pods in the fall, and that's what we have harvested, and we'll send you some to get it started. Once you get the plant started, you can expand it in a couple ways, from seed or from the crowns, or digging up the plants as they develop and dividing the plant and moving it to other locations. 100% success is what you'll have from seed or the transplants, because it's a very, very easy plant to grow. And if you don't like it where it is, you can take it out pretty easily. It will come up from seed all around, but the little seedlings are easy to remove if you need to. And not as prolific as the, as I said earlier, as American elm and some of the other elms that pop up all over the place in your garden, even in the top of mulch. You know, mulch sometimes doesn't even stop American elm and other elms that germinate in the spring for you. Well, let's get back to the phone lines. The telephone number is 866-444-3478. Let's talk to John in Longwood next. Hello, John.
Hello, Doctor. How are you? Doctor, we're senior citizens here, and we have a lawn that goes all the way around our house. But we have about 20 low spots where you can't really walk everywhere without twisting your ankle.
Okay.
And so I was just curious as to what kind of dirt that we should put in these 20 or 25 spots to level it out.
Well, John, I got two ways for you to go, okay?
Yes, sir.
The first way is to buy some soil from the landscape contractors you work with or whoever, and insist on the soil being exactly or as close to it as possible the soil that's in your yard. You don't want to bring in a different soil, put sand on clay or clay on sand or vice, you know, whatever. You see what I mean? It needs to be the same soil that's there. And then you can replant the tops if you need to or whatever. What I do that I like better, though, is a cut and fill process, and it works pretty well. Do you maintain your own place, or do you have a contractor come in and do it for you?
Yeah, we do our own place, and I thought we would hire, get somebody that with a truck come over and put it on our driveways, and we would gradually fill the holes.
Okay. Well, you can do that the first way I mentioned. The second thing you can do is talk to them about this idea, and that is for them to bring a core aerator to your property, and that's an aerating machine that you run across the turf, and it pulls cores out of, you know, soil, and they're scattered all over the surface of the soil. And what you do then is you have them rake those cores. They do it one direction and another direction, do it quite heavily. And then they rake those cores over from the high parts of the lawn into the low spots. So what you're doing is a cut and fill process you know, just using your own soil, and it works quite well. The areas that are higher where you've taken all the cores and you've raked those cores away will settle ever so slightly. And then where you filled in the low spots, you know, that grade will come up. It may take you a couple of seasons to get it to where you really want it, but that's a way of doing it without having to even bring in any more new material.
Oh, well, thank you very much, sir. I appreciate that.
Give it a shot.
Thank you.
Okay, John, thank you. Let's go to Bedford, Texas, and talk to Larry. Hey, Larry.
Hey, Howard.
What's up?
Hey, I've got a St. Augustine lawn, and it died out. And I'm not sure if it was some kind of root fungus or grubs, but you can just take a handful and just pull it up like a bad toupee.
Yeah, there's been a lot of that around, and some of it has been chinch bugs during the summer. Some of it has been grubs. Sometimes it's both. It's a combination of the two. Some
okay.
of it was related to the drought. I even let a couple of spots in our backyard at our office get too dry and kind of died out. It has a little – when you let it get stressed like that, there's another possibility of it being the take-all patch fungus.
Uh-huh.
So the solution is, just like I was talking to John there, aerate the area, put out some good quality compost, and as good as you can find – spray the area with Garrett Juice Plus or Garrett Juice Pro or your own Garrett Juice, doesn't matter. Stimulate the biological activity, in other words. And put out beneficial nematodes. If it's grubs, it'll nail them, and it'll help you also if anything tries to pop back up. You can do beneficial nematodes now still, and you can then apply them again in the spring when things start to grow again.
Okay.
And one of those, all of that will help. All of that will help with the health of the sod, the turf, and then whichever pathogen or insect problem you're dealing with, you will have nailed it, whichever one it is.
Okay. In the meantime, it's kind of been taken over by very low-lying, spreading weeds.
Mm-hmm. You can kill them if you want to, but you can also just leave them in and do these other things, and the turf will grow back and crowd them out. You can take them out by hand. You can spray them with vinegar, orange oil mixtures. My vinegar formula is on the website. You can use commercial products like Scythe or Monterey or Avenger. All those will kill it. If it's still green now, it's probably Spurge or something like that.
If I kill it and rake it off, am I too late to plant fescue or something like that?
You're not too late to plant fescue. It's okay. I planted some rye at home, and we've got some areas where they didn't hit it with the seed very well, and I'm going to be planting more there. If you plant solid sod, you can plant anything you want to plant, summer grasses or winter grasses, either one.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much.
Get to work. It's a nice day to do it.
Yes, it is.
All right. Thanks, Larry.
Yeah,
the only risk in planting, a lot of people tell you it's way too late to plant summer grasses, but it's nonsense to say that. It is a fine time to plant a solid sod, St. Augustine, Bermuda, Zoysia. It's certainly a good time to plant bluegrass, fescue, rye, all those kinds of things from sod or from seed. Anytime the temperature is mild like it is here, let's say over 40 degrees, really, and golf course superintendents do this every year to replant tees and various places that have gotten torn up. The only risk is there's two small risks. One is if you've planted from seed, say rye or fescue this late, ideal would have been to have done it late September. Planting now, your only risk is that the little seedling are going to jump up, which right now in this mild weather, they'll jump up in about 3 days. They'll come up fast. And your only risk is that while they're still tiny little seedlings, we have a blue norther come in and the temperature drops 30 or 40 degrees, you know, and just shocks them because of that great change. That's always a possibility. It's not a great one. On solid sod, the only risk there is if we have one of those 200-year events like we had in 1983 and 84 when the temperature dropped below freezing really, really fast and stayed there for 30 days or something. That killed grown live oak trees. So, that would hurt them, but that's going to be extremely rare. So, for the most part, planting in the winter and planting it this time in the late fall is or middle of the fall is a good thing to do. Logan in Dallas, can you wait for one more break so we're not rushed?
Sure.
Okay, hang on. I'll be with you first up when we come back from this break, okay? I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. Telephone number, and there's an open line at 866-444-3478. Website is dirtdoctor.com.
You already know how great All Natural Crazy Water is to drink, but now there's a Crazy Water bathhouse which is located in historic Mineral Wells, and it's the only place you can take a natural mineral bath in Texas. Enjoy day treatments or stay for the weekend in our luxurious guest rooms. Enjoy mineral baths, soaking tubs, treatments, and massages. Relax, unwind, and rejuvenate. Call 940-325-8870 to set an appointment. That's 940-325-8870. And don't forget, you can pick up bottled Crazy Water in HEB, Whole Foods, or Central Market. Crazy Water, so good it's crazy. At Natural Organic Warehouse, you get more than just affordable products for your farm, landscapes, ranch, or home. You also get practical field-based advice on how to best solve problems. That's because we're growers too. It's our advice that sets us apart from other product providers. Get the products and the advice you need by visiting naturalorganicwarehouse.com or call us at 888-998-9669. That's naturalorganicwarehouse.com, 888-998-9669. Better, cleaner, sustainable choices.
Staying healthy and building immunity begins in your gut, where an amazing 70% of your immune cells reside. So, keeping your digestive tract healthy is imperative to overall health and well-being. And there's no better way to improve your digestive health than taking probiotics, the friendly bacteria that fight off the bad bugs that can cause digestive problems and break down your immune system. Dr. O'Hara's exclusive probiotic formula delivers live, beneficial bacteria in an easily absorbed formula that provides optimal digestive support, boosts immunity, and increases energy through better absorption of nutrients. Backed by over 20 years of scientific research and centuries-old wisdom, daily use of Dr. O'Hara's probiotics will revolutionize your family health care strategy. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's Tree Health Plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
I'm always working to find new and better organic products. One of the companies that helps me in that regard is the Medina Corporation in Hondo, Texas. They've been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building longer than anybody in the business. Medina produces fertilizers and soil amendments, both in liquid and dry formulations, that work by stimulating the soil biology to help all crops. Whether growing landscape plants, herbs, vegetables, grasses, or trees, Medina has the products to help you budget wisely, effectively increase production, and treat the environment right. There's a new prilled organic fertilizer called Growing Green Premium Lawn Food that I recommend you try. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is also made by Medina, and it's available in all sizes, quarts, gallons, barrels, and even large totes. Remember to ask for Medina. The website's medinaag.com. You'll find the Medina label at all hardware, nursery, and feed stores that sell organic products.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at dirtdoctor.com.
The first step to a beautiful lawn this spring is an application of Revive. Hi, Dale Langford here. You know, I've been writing lawn and garden columns for over 40 years, and I found one product that really works. It's Revive Organic Soil Treatment. Revive is a proven, unique formula of wetting agents, soil conditioners, and nutrients. It's organic-based, safe for kids and pets, and will not burn your lawn. Revive moves fertilizer and water down deep to the roots. Hey, that saves water and fertilizer, and that saves money. The results are spectacular. Get greener grass with less water. A lush, dark green, healthy lawn that you can be proud of. And remember, saving water is saving money. Revive is available at your favorite garden center. Visit revive.com for more information and store locations. Use Revive every few weeks for the greenest lawn on your block. In fact, use Revive right now. It works.
All righty, Howard, back with you. And Logan called at the just before the break there and wanted to talk about a live oak tree. You there, Logan?
Yes, sir.
What's up?
Good morning. Yeah, I have a beautiful live oak tree in my front yard. I think it was planted back in 56.
Okay.
And, you know, a couple years ago when we had a snowstorm, it took out one of the main branches on it because of the weight, and I had to cut it off. Now, I rented a lift to cut down an old magnolia tree that was dying, and so I have the opportunity to go in the front and trim it out. And it's got some branches that are hanging low down from the canopy, and I was wondering, what's the percentage that you can cut off, and is it bad to thin out the tree going up the main trunks? And, I mean, what's the best route to take to alleviate this so that I don't have a problem in the future?
Now, what do you think the problem is going to be with these limbs?
Well, when the snow came, I guess it was about 2-3 years ago, it weighed down one of the branches and it snapped and it was leaning on the house and it became a problem. So I don't want the weight of any future snow or anything to take out these branches that are already going at a negative slope.
Well, I got you. Here's the deal on trimming for the prevention of ice breakage. You know, when we've had the worst ice storms and trees have been busted up real badly, you know which limbs are the ones that are damaged the most without question? They're the ones going up and barely out at an angle. The ones that are usually no problem at all are the ones that are growing out sideways or dipping down low, because they're growing at an angle where they've had to develop a strength in their connection to the tree that's very powerful. And a lot of times they'll dip down and touch something that might be in the way, whatever it is, and some all the way to the ground. And then when the snow and ice is gone, they'll pop right back up. So it's a fallacy to think that trimming the low limbs and just keeping the ones growing up eliminates ice storm damage. It makes it worse in a lot of cases. So my advice to you on trimming a live oak is to step back at it and look at the natural shape it's trying to have. And try to keep with that. It's very difficult to change the character. It's almost impossible to change the character of a plant. Work with what it's trying to do. Cut out codominant limbs. In other words, limbs that are growing together real closely right at the same angle. Take the weakest one away. If you do that when a tree is young, you really develop nice, open, kind of an open feeling. You don't want it real open. That's not good for the tree. If it didn't have the if it didn't want the limbs and the leaves, they wouldn't be growing there. So you just want to eliminate things that would cause problems on down the road. And tight joints, V-shaped joints, are one of those things. The U-shaped joints are very powerful. V-shaped joints are very weak and can cause breakage down the road. So that's my advice. Don't do any more than you have to.
Sure. And then one last thing, if you do cut on that, you don't like putting anything on the fresh cut wounds, do you?
I don't. More Tree Care and Lambert's, who I work with more than anybody in the tree business, they'll sometimes use a product called Lac Balsam when people want a wound dressing. It's a very nice color. It's kind of a gray-brown color. And it's a French product. It's a real soft. It stays soft and friable, movable. Okay. You know, and doesn't create a problem. But on my own trees at home, I don't put anything on the cuts.
Okay, great. Well, thank you very much.
Appreciate the call.
Have a good one. Bye bye.
One of the things I was telling somebody just the other day when they had an injury on a tree. Well, I was talking to Bob about this on his ranch, Bob Webster, down in San Antonio. He has some real pretty cherry trees on the property, and one of the biggest ones had been hit by lightning. And I told him, and it went down one strip on one side, and that's good. Didn't blow the bark off all the way around. That normally kills the tree. But when you have one streak like that, or when you have a car run into the tree, or whatever caused the injury, if you splash just hydrogen peroxide on the wound, it's the best thing it can do. You can go to the trouble of mixing the tree trunk goop and smearing it all over the entire wound. It doesn't stay there like wound dressing or tree pruning paint. It goes away with weather and rain and everything. That's fine. It's a little more trouble, cost a little bit, but those are the only two things that I normally would recommend. There's a wonderful place over in East Dallas that sells a lot of green things in a hardware store called Gecko Hardware. Hello, Andrea.
Hello, Howard. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are things at Gecko Hardware?
Oh, they're just busting all over, out all over. We've got baby chicks, and George, our rooster, just moved up to the front of the store where he can see out the front window better.
Oh, good, good. He let me pet him a little bit the other day. He seemed to think he was going to peck me there for a while, but we got along pretty well.
Well, he's very friendly. You know, as long as we don't take him to see the ladies, you know, we tried for a couple weeks to take him once a week to a little farm nearby and let him get out in the sunshine and be a rooster. Mm-hmm. But every time we did, he got so aggressive, we just had to stop taking him. So now he just lives here.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, he'll have to enjoy all the people that come in. He's really a pretty red rooster, so it's he's good for the kids, and the chicks are really magnets for the kids coming in.
Oh, they're so fun, and we're having a big sale right now, and I think, I don't know if you saw those really beautiful eucalyptus rocking chairs we had the last time you
were over. Yeah, they're great.
They're flying out the door, and we've got all our door hardware on sale, so we've got some great deals going on for November.
That's good. We had the steel representative on earlier in the show, and I've told people before, y'all have the new lithium-powered, battery-powered equipment there, and it's just terrific stuff. People can see everything we talked about this morning there at Gecko Hardware.
Well, they can, and matter of fact, I bought one of the mowers and one of weed trimmers, the mm-hmm. string trimmers.
They're terrific.
And I'll tell you what, Howard, I've never seen anything so good. That stuff is rock solid.
Andrea, we'll put you on hold if you had something else. Got to run. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. Be right back.
With SRN News, I'm Michael Harrington in Washington. Pakistan's government plans to put former President Pervez Musharraf on trial for treason. The Interior Minister says Musharraf faces the charge for declaring a state of emergency and suspending the Constitution when he was in power. Attacks across Iraq have killed at least 10 people today. Officials say gunmen attacked a militia leader and bombs targeted police officers and civilians. Philippines President Benigno Aquino says he will set up a camp in an area hit hardest by this month's typhoon till he sees more progress. The death toll is about 4,000 people now and feared to go much higher. Forecasters say a number of Midwestern states could see severe thunderstorms today. The National Weather Service says parts of Illinois, Indiana, southern Michigan, and western Ohio are at the greatest risk of heavy storms, including possibly tornadoes. This is SRN News.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-800-581-7226. 1-800-581-7226. That's 1-800-581-7226. 1-800-581-7226.
With SRN Sports, I'm Patrick Voss. Alabama and Florida State still control their BCS title game hopes. The top-ranked and 10-0 tied looked lethargic and uninspired, but they still found a way to win by nearly two touchdowns at Mississippi State 20-7. Alabama defensive back Landon Collins says the 4-6 Bulldogs were a tough opponent.
Every team gonna give us their best, and that's what we was expecting from this team, and that's what they did. I mean, we give their props. I mean, that's a great team we played against.
Alabama led 10-7 midway through the third quarter before pulling away. No such lethargy for the second-ranked Seminoles as they rolled past Syracuse 59-3. While the Seminoles are likely three victories away from locking up a spot in the BCS championship game, Syracuse coach Scott Schaefer says he was really blown away by how good 10-0 Florida State is.
That's one of the best football teams I've seen in my 23 years coaching. They are big, they are fast, they are talented, and they know what they're doing.
This is SRN Sports. Third-ranked Ohio State stayed in the title game mix with a 60-35 win over Illinois, but Coach Urban Meyer says he doesn't want his 10-0 Buckeyes thinking about the BCS.
These guys, these players work so hard. I have to make sure that our focus is on just getting better each week instead of all the national stuff, and just shut your mouth and let's just get a little better.
Fourth-ranked Baylor spotted Texas Tech a 14-0 lead before clawing back for a 63-34 win. The 9-0 Bears have a chance to move into the top four. The big upset of the day came as Southern California's shock number 5 Stanford 20-17, knocking the Cardinal out of the national title picture. Sixth-ranked Oregon bounced back from their first loss, defeating Utah 44-21. It was seventh-ranked Auburn beating Georgia 43-38. The 10-1 Tigers scored on a deflected 73-yard pass on 4th-and-18 with 25 seconds left to keep their BCS hopes alive. 11th-ranked South Carolina beat Florida 19-14. It was 12th-ranked Oklahoma State 38, number 23 Texas 13. Other top 25 winners, Michigan State, Central Florida, Wisconsin, Louisville, Arizona State, Oklahoma, and Duke. With SRN Sports, I'm Patrick Voss.
All righty, Howard, back with you. Telephone number is 866-444-3478. I was talking to Andrea right out with Gecko Hardware about a couple more things off the air there, and I wanted to pass them on. We were talking about the steel power equipment, and they have gasoline and the electric equipment, but they also have that Moto product that we were talking about with Rodney from the company that's the gasoline that's already, that Moto mix. It's the gasoline that's already mixed, doesn't have ethanol in it, and you don't have to drain your tanks and that sort of thing. It just helps the equipment tremendously. We had one comment on Facebook about the steel products being too expensive to be affordable, and that's really not the case. I guess when you see the price of the chainsaw or whatever you're looking at buying, the blower or whatever, whichever it is, and the price of the battery, it's a pretty good chunk of money. And if you bought the gasoline version, it would be a little less, maybe not a lot. But what you've got to factor in is how much it costs to fill it with gasoline each time. Go get the gasoline. Do all the stuff that's related to the gas deal. And if you really look at that over not that long a period of time, the battery powered stuff really makes a lot of sense, and you've got the reduction in noise and the fumes and the whole deal. But I think that the cost effectiveness is pretty good. I'm about to buy some more of them myself. Right now, speaking of great products and everything, we've got Sherry Herrera DeFry from Arbico Organics on the horn. Hey, Sherry.
Hi there, Howard.
What's going on?
Oh, my goodness. You know, the weather's finally just, it's glorious out here in Arizona, and we've got our new fall catalog out. It just was sent out this week, and we've got a lot of great holiday gifts. We have all sorts of kits that we've put together. Indoor gardening kits, outdoor gardening kits, composting kits, vermiculture kits. And we also have a new section on season extenders with row covers and everything you need to, you know, to prolong growing. So we've got a lot of new stuff in the catalog, and we're very excited about it. And for those people who are listening, if they'd like one, they can just go online to arbico-organics.com and order themselves one. We also have an e-catalog, so if you don't want to mess with you know, the paper, you can just actually look at it online and you can click on whatever you want and it'll take you right to the product. So it's pretty dandy. That's all I can say. So lots of good things going on for us.
That's great. Do y'all have any period of time during the year when you do not sell beneficial nematodes?
Never. Okay. No. You know what? They are one of our strong leaders. And you know what? I had a call from Florida the other day asking about, you know, when is it too cold to actually apply nematodes? And what I said to the person was, when the soil is freezing, obviously that's when it's frozen, not the ambient temperature, but the soil itself. And so, you know, we have people purchasing nematodes all year long. It's just, you know, so many parts of the country where it does not, where the soil does not freeze. You know, well, you may get a freezing temperature. We always say that you want to apply them when it's about 47 degrees as the, you know, for the ambient temperature low. So that covers a lot of the country.
That's right. Well, I've recommended that, for example, I've recommended putting nematodes out very early in the spring when it's still pretty cold.
Absolutely.
For thrips on roses and specific kinds of things. And I think where the pushback comes from there just a little bit is some of the companies that sell nematodes actually tell people not to put them out when it's colder temperatures. And I think there's some bad information out there.
Most definitely. If you know, for those of us who actually have nematologists on board, you know, we do a lot of our own research with them. And you know, they are so hardy. They can really withstand very cool temperatures and very warm temperatures. And a lot of people, when they receive them, if the package is warm to the touch, often think that they've died. But we know that they can withstand ambient temperatures of about 120 degrees.
So, yeah, and if there's a temperature that's good enough to keep the pests alive out there, it's certainly warm enough for the nematodes that are going to kill them.
Exactly. That's my philosophy right there. I mean, you know, if the pests can survive, they can definitely survive.
Absolutely.
And they're so multi-purpose, like you say. I mean, they take care of so many pests in the soil.
All righty. It's a great mail order company, arbico-organics.com, or give them a call at their telephone number, which is
800-SOS-BUGS, 800-SOS-BUGS. Howard, it's always great talking to you. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Sherry. See you soon.
You bet. Bye-bye now.
And they do a great job. I mean, the quality level is really great. They've got all kinds of other beneficial insects and organisms besides beneficial nematodes. So check it all out, arbico-organics.com. Let's see. Oh, and the another thing I was going to tell you about products, another one of our great sponsors and supporters, the BioSI people, have wonderful bacteria and mycorrhizal fungus products, and great for agriculture, or they've gotten into the retail packaging as well. I just put their Pond Doctor product bacteria in my decorative pond with my koi just a couple of days ago. But they've got a new product. It is a it's really good. This is more for agriculture. It's good for corn, wheat, potato plant stubble after harvest. In other words, to help break down the stubble after harvest. Helps recycle the nutrients back into the soil, increases input increase for the next crop. The value of recycling can be from $95 an acre up to about $170 an acre, just in nutrient value. Plus, you're putting back carbon in the soil, building humus to hold the water in the rhizosphere, and it's just a great product. It's called Stubble Digestion, Bio-SI, and then SD25, Stubble Digestion product. That looks great. That's one of the things I like about Bio-SI. They just keep coming up with new innovative technology there. Open line at 866-444-3478. Here's Justice in Dallas. Hey, Justice.
Hi, how are you doing, Howard?
Doing great. Thank you. Yeah.
I am going to be moving soon, and I want to start growing cactus that bear fruit, and I'm trying to find out what are some good plants for the Texas area that I won't have to bring inside all the time.
Well, just our plain old, a lot of people consider it a gigantic weed, but our plain old prickly pear, you know, creates fruit. I think that most species of cactus will. So just staying with some of the, you know, tough native, you know, or introduced things that you see growing, you know, that are tough and hardy for the winter. I don't know the specific names I'd push you at other than the prickly pear itself.
Are there any fruit-bearing cactus that are inedible or poisonous for people to eat?
Not that I know of. There may be some that are less palatable than others, but basically it's an edible fruit plant. One thing on prickly pear you might look into, there's a couple of things. One is, this is just from a decorative standpoint, there is a purple prickly pear. It has purple pads, and it's really, really good-looking plant. And then there's one that's closely akin to the regular prickly pear, that when you look at it, it doesn't appear to have any spines on it. Don't be fooled by that. You'll get those tiny, tiny, tiny little spines in you, and they
those
just,
are the worst.
Oh, man, they will wear you out. So be careful. It looks cool, but you've got to be careful. And like I say, they'll all produce the fruit. Some people actually use the juice from the pads in dishes. I don't know how to do that. I've never done it. I have eaten the fruit off of them, though, and it's good stuff.
Are there any places that you know of that would sell fruit-bearing cactus, nurseries or something of that sort?
Well, like I say, they pretty much all do. You'll just have to call around and see who has stuff in stock, the nurseries and the growers that specialize in succulents and cactus and agave and, you know, all those kinds of things will either have a lot of that in stock or they can order and bring it in for you without any trouble at all. I'm sure they'd be helpful in that regard.
Okay. And on the prickly pear, I've heard of another type of cactus that is self-pollinating. Do you know if that's true for the prickly pear?
That's a good question. I've never been asked that before, and I've never really thought about it. I think that they are perfect, and they are self-pollinating, but I'm not positive about that. I'll look into that for you. I'll have to learn more here myself, just like you are going to. One little word of advice for you here. One of the tips that I give people if they call me and they say, I have a field of prickly pear, how do I get rid of it? One of the basic things that I recommend to people is to put out organic amendments, put out compost, put out organic fertilizers, build the life in the soil. Where ranchers have done that, where ranchers have started doing just controlled grazing techniques, for example, and leaving letting the animals' manure and urine be the fertilizer and rotating the cattle so that there's a pulsing of the grasses and forbs that are on the ground, and all of that builds the biological activity in the soil. When the soil gets healthier, prickly pears that have been used to that lousy soil get in trouble. They start getting bacteria and fungal issues. They start getting the white spots all over the pads, which are cochineal insects. That's the ones that give you the red dye. When you see those insects like that, that's a dead giveaway that your plant's getting in stress. My point is that the pears, if they're grown in nurseries, they're going to be more tolerant of you fertilizing and watering a little bit. But people tend to overdo it. And so if you ever get your prickly pear that you're trying to grow in trouble, cut back on not only the water, but on the fertilizer that you're giving, and keep them on a little bit on the hungry side.
So I might not want to treat them very well to make them.
That's exactly
well.
Right. You can kill them with tender, loving care. That's right.
Okay. All right. Great. Thank you very much.
Appreciate the call. Good questions. Yeah, it's you can drive down through the countryside, and I've seen this, and I've got, I think some, well, I know I do, I've got some pictures that I need to have scanned and get digital. They're back when I was using film photography, but I was in an area going out to do some consulting. I think I was driving up toward the Vernon, Texas area. We were running experiments on trying to grow grass on salted soil that had been dead for a long time. And I was driving down the road, Farm Market Road, and it really struck me that on the left-hand side it was solid prickly pear, and on the right it was solid good grasses and good grazing and everything. And all that is just different management. It has nothing to do with spraying with pesticides or anything like that. And prickly pear makes a great compost, and I'll tell you about it when I come back from this break. It's a pretty simple thing to do if you have prickly pear and you want to get rid of it. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. I'll be right back.
BioSI is a leading manufacturer of beneficial microbe and enzyme products. BioSI products help build healthy soil to grow healthy gardens and food crops. BioSI products loosen the soil, reduce fertilization needs, and help reduce irrigation needs. BioSI can be used to treat flowers, lawns, shrubs, and trees, as well as herb and vegetable gardens. Water Doctor by BioSI cleans and maintains ponds, lakes, and water gardens. Contact them today at 866-393-4786 or on the web at biositechnology.com.
Okay, gardeners and farmers, for over 30 years, Arbico Organics has been a leading provider to growers nationwide. Arbico Organics offers beneficial insects, natural fly control, mosquito control, beneficial nematodes, grub and beetle control, insect traps, and many other pest solutions. Call 800-SOS-BUGS, 800-827-2847 to speak with one of their friendly specialists, or go online to arbico-organics.com. That's arbico-organics.com.
There is a new version of Garrett Juice. It is Garrett Juice Pro, and Green Industries is the manufacturer. Garrett Juice Pro consists of oilseed extracts, apple cider vinegar, molasses, seaweed, bacteria, and beneficial fungi. There is also Garrett Juice Hybrid for those who haven't gone completely organic. Order today and receive their special offer or buy one, get one free. Call 877-665-2121 or go to GarrettJuicePro.com. Order today. Buy one, get one free. That's 877-655-2121 or go to GarrettJuicePro.com.
Let me tell you about a great new eco-friendly alternative to fish oil, Chia Omega. New from our friends at Essential Formulas, the Dr. O'Hara's probiotic folks. Chia Omega is an all-natural, plant-based omega-3 line of supplements made from chia seed oil, the richest and most sustainable natural source of ALA omega-3 on the planet, even more than fish or flax. So ask for Chia Omega at fine health food retailers starting this month and don't accept a substitute. Chia Omega, good for you and good for the planet.
To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed and mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit DirtDoctor.com.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: Animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trunks. For more information on mulch, go to dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard back with you, and looking at some things on prickly pear. There's some pretty good websites if you just do a search. It talks about the prickly pear, just like we were talking about, pads and the fruit edible, and gives you some tips on preparation, how to avoid the spines and all that kind of thing. If you buy some at the grocery store, what to look for and all that kind of thing. So pretty good information there for you. Philip, by the way, I never got back around to talking about trees for really cold climates. I'll do an answer on Facebook on that, spend a little more time, and so I'm not rushed. I've put it off too long here. Sorry about that. But quite a few of those trees that do well out there are some of the trees that we use here. So we'll go over that in writing for you when I have a little more time. Philip in St. Joe next up. What's up, Philip?
Hello, Howard. On that inland sea oak, when do you plant that?
As soon as you get them in your hand, you can put them out any time. They won't germinate if you put them out now. They'll lay there all winter, but then they'll pop up all over the place, you know, and surprise you when the good weather comes. It's probably a little safer, I guess, to wait and do it in the spring, and you won't have the risk of birds and insects eating the seed or real hard rain washing the seed away or something like that. But you can literally get them started any time. Another way you could do it is to put the inland sea oats in pots or in flats and germinate them inside in a bright area or a greenhouse situation and grow them and then set out the seedlings in the spring. You can do it either way. Yeah.
Hey, but full sun won't work. It's too hot for them.
Full sun is not ideal. High filtered light is the best, or morning sun and afternoon shade, one of those two. But they do okay in full sun. It'd probably be easier to germinate the seed and get them going if they're getting a little protection, though.
Okay. Okay, great. All right, I appreciate it, sir.
Thank you, Philip.
Bye-bye.
Margaret's turn in Centerville, Texas. Hello, Margaret. Let's see. There it is.
I tried to find that for several years.
I'm sorry, Margaret, start over. I hit your button and it didn't come on.
Said I look forward to having a beginning of inland sea oats. I have searched for a start for several years.
Oh, good.
To use to curtail erosion. And I wanted to ask you also, you mentioned earlier today about a compost pile that you use to curtail erosion too. And my property slopes from the road down a gravel driveway toward the horse barn and a pond beyond. And so with heavy rains, it gains momentum like a river down the driveway and digs trenches down. So I was looking at the possibility of a compost pile going crossways to slow the water down or...
I think that'll work well. I think that shredded tree trimmings that are in their rough state, in other words, the tree care company runs the limbs through the machine and grinds it up, and it's, you know, pretty big pieces, and some are real long and stringy. Mm-hmm. Some of the grinders just chip the material up, and some make pretty stringy pieces. The stringy pieces are best.
Mm-hmm.
If you can talk to the company you're going to use before it happens, and if you put that material out as a thick blanket or in kind of a berm situation as a blocker of water coming down, I think either way will work pretty well.
And that is not washed when the heavy rain it's a long way from the road down to the barn, and when you see it going, I even thought about something like speed bumps across the driveway, something to simply slow the water down and send it.
Well, I think that freshly ground tree trimmings work better than anything, because if you get them right out of the tree trimmer's truck and they're doing trimming on live limbs.
Okay, well, may I interrupt? But right now, I've just had a logging company, because of the dead pine trees on my property and others threatening to be dead. And so there's a lot of the debris, you know, the little limbs that they have removed that are available right now. And I do have a chipper shredder, so I could use those or even just lay the small ones.
Yeah, any kind of ground-up tree trimmings will work well. And that material fuses together very well, Margaret. You can put it on a slope, for example, a
mm-hmm.
thick blanket of mulch on a slope, and get a hard rain that night. And mm-hmm. in most cases, it won't wash away. Now, if you've got a huge volume that's building upstream and comes down and hits real hard, it could take out, you know, concrete or construction or your trimmings.
It's mainly the water that, and with the sandy soil here, it just digs trenches when there's nothing to
yeah. On that, you can just cover the ground with a thick blanket, 6 to 8 inches, and berm it up in some cases where you want to have it divert the water maybe a little more, and it'll stop the erosion.
Okay. What about with the sea oats? Can a row of those crossways, would that be helpful?
Yeah, once they're established, they'll not be washed away. They're great for that.
Okay. Well, thank you. The person, a game warden, said that with the trees being dead, it was not pine bark beetles, it's turpentine beetle. Do you know anything about that?
Well, there can be several different species of beetles that get into the tree once the stress is there. The real problem is the stress, the drought, and the other things. So, yeah, it could be, and he probably has looked at it and knows what the deal is there. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to run. I'll put you
Thank
on hold
you.
If you had something else. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, and I've enjoyed being with you very much. Information in the meantime, this week, just go to dirtdoctor.com, get our newsletter free by filling out the form on the homepage. Enjoy your gardens out there, everybody, and don't forget to feed the birds.